Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, educate your directs on performance reviews early, part two. Questions this cast answers are, can I teach my team about performance reviews in advance? Should I go over performance reviews with new directs? And how can I brief my new directs on how they'll be evaluated? If you'd like answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Hey folks, it's Sarah here from Manager Tools. You may not know that Mark and I are members of the local Monterey Symphony Orchestra. Something that probably will surprise you even more is we can agree. Our favorite member of the Monterey Symphony is our conductor. Because after all, without the conductor, it would be incredibly difficult for all of those different individuals to stay on the same sheet of music. And the same thing can happen in our organizations. If the executives and managers and people who work for them are playing off of different sheets of music, it can be incredibly difficult to all work toward a common goal. And we have a common goal, the success of our organization. So if you're interested in getting all your folks on the same sheet of music, send us an email. You can email us at customerservice@manager-tools.com, and we'll come in and help your folks learn the effective manager training course so that they can all play in sync with one another.
I'm going to just fully commit to the cynicism. And then after we record, I'm going to take a break and I'm going to go downstairs, get some more coffee, rework my brain.
Got it.
So I'll be an optimist after we're done recording.
Got it.
But since we're still recording, I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that one of the reasons that managers hate their organization's performance review system is because it's easier to blame the system, which we admit is sometimes lousy, although not everybody listening can say that. So, okay. It's easier to blame a system than it is to take responsibility for your failure to create an environment of frequent feedback, positive and negative, for your directs.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Managers out there would rather not give feedback and then blame the system for the problem. Mm-hmm. And y'all, this is not fair. You're just passing the buck. Yeah. If you get your regular feedback right, if you do that part right, reviews are so much easier to prepare for and deliver. There should be no surprises in reviews.
Yeah. There should be no surprises. Just a recap of the year. She's like, okay, we talked about all these things, so pretty uneventful over here, but we need to make sure we communicate this important information to the organization as well, even though you and I have been talking about it at length throughout the year. Essentially, that's what it should be.
Yes, the idea of the performance review, which goes to HR, right? In most cases, being the place where your directs hear their feedback is another cruelty that we're visiting upon our directs. You should be giving daily, weekly feedback that doesn't go to HR.
Yep. Giving people the chance to fix it before it becomes review worthy.
Yeah. Like the idea here is, well, I'm going to not say anything and then I'll put it in a paper that goes to somebody else.
Right.
It's tattling almost.
Right. Or
without saying anything.
We don't put it in the paper.
Oh, because that's...
Yeah, exactly.
Fun.
Because
yeah.
We know we haven't done our job. We know it's our responsibility to have told people this so they could fix it, but we didn't tell them so they couldn't fix it. And now this failure to create a culture of performance feedback leads our reviews to become vanilla, which again is why these systems are hated. Everyone gets kind of the same ranking. Most managers know they have weaker performers, but since they didn't talk to them about any of the things they've done wrong throughout the year, they know I certainly can't surprise them in writing. So,
right.
All of the reviews have this inflation toward the positive, which isn't true and does nothing other than irritate your top performers. The people in your organization whom you want most thrilled by the performance review process, those are the people that are most ticked off because A, they see that their performance is not officially captured as distinctly better than the poorer performers in your organization who've been falsely graded as meeting standard when we all know they've not, and B, they realize that compensation increases will have to be spread over a larger area than performance was. Because even though I've been doing most of that person's job all year, it appears as though they're going to get the exact same performance raise or bonus as I am because their review resulted in relatively the same score.
I have been a part of an organization previously where the scores all came out pretty neutral, like pretty middle of the road, and compensation was determined specifically not by the numbers, rather by the manager.
Yeah.
And therefore, my raises were bigger, but the numbers all matched. And even that chafed.
Yeah.
Even that chafed. A top performer, as a person who was consistently a top performer, not being given the highest rating.
Yeah.
Listen, I was very young, both in age and in my career. So in hindsight, I probably would view it differently.
Yeah, professional maturity, experience. You don't really realize that this is kind of how it's done to all the people all the time. You have very few examples.
My memory is feeling that I deserved a five and I was not given it.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, if you come up in standard American education, scores are the really only thing. And so to have fought, for example, for a perfect SAT score.
Yeah. Worked your butt off.
And then fought for the five and kind of been given like a, well, you didn't get the biggest rating because nobody does. And nobody gets the lowest rating either, by the way, which means there's really only three numbers, right? Mm-hmm. And then, but we're just going to give you a lot of money. And the thing was, if you made big scores, you know, earlier when you were young, people recognize it.
Yeah.
It was posted. They saw it. I remember
hung it on the fridge.
Yes. And for example, someone in our high school got a full perfect score on the SAT. Mm-hmm. So it was in the newspaper.
Yeah, sure it was.
Well,
that's kind of a big deal.
It was a huge deal, obviously. I mean, he's an incredibly intelligent person. I think he retired at like 40 from SpaceX.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
No. Yeah. Incredibly. I'm certain he's not listening, but Josh, if you are listening, kudos. And having seen all those things and then to be told, hey, all the stuff that kind of gets like socialized is going to be a depressed version of your review and of your performance, and all the stuff that's secret, like your compensation, that's going to reflect it. It felt like the conversation about everybody gets recognition, everybody gets a trophy. And then you get a secret trophy that says you're the bestest, and nobody knows about it.
Yeah, nobody knows about it. So be proud by yourself, Kate.
Right. And I didn't have a spouse or partner to show my pay stub to say, hey, guess what? I'm the most bestest.
Right.
And so then it felt like not only were you not supposed to, it felt as if, And we knew who was performing. We knew who wasn't, right? There's no secrets. Everybody knows who the top performer is.
Like,
it felt like you were supposed to pretend that you weren't the best.
Yeah.
Ooh, it chapped me. I didn't like it. Well, clearly it did.
Clearly. I mean, we're still living with the pain.
Yeah, it's been almost 20 years that I'm still cheesed about it. So clearly. So what we'd suggest is that not only do you start by when you have a new direct briefing them, but you also start giving feedback regularly, frequently. It will make performance reviews so much easier and accurate, frankly. It also helps your directs because they'll know, they'll hear your feedback. And to them, feedback is a much more emotional experience. Because it's emotional, it will stick in their brains, which means that not only will they improve in areas where they should, they'll also add that stuff to their performance review content when they deliver it to you in advance of you putting together their review. So one of my big learnings when I first started giving a lot of feedback was that, hey, if I mention this stuff to my directs throughout the year, it gets into their performance review as a kind of like systemic situation because it is emotional for them. It's not it's less emotional, I think, for the manager. Now, I'm not suggesting it's without emotion because managers struggle. I'm suggesting for the direct, it's more internalized, it's more emotional, it comes up more often in their minds. And so they're more likely to put it into that content.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it just helps.
Yeah. It makes the whole thing better and easier longer term. And why wouldn't we want that?
I really don't know. It's just that humans are weird.
Yeah, so humans are weird. Sorry about that, guys. All right. So the next bit, going over the form. What we'd recommend you do as a manager is get a copy of your organization's form and give it to your direct in their first week. Ask them to read it, study it, review it, what have you. But don't spoon feed them. Add this step to your onboarding process and assign it to the new direct without them asking you to send it to them. In terms of your onboarding process, make sure you add this as a checkbox, right? Make sure that you add this as an item that you need to do when onboarding people. Send them that review and have them send them the review and have them review it. That's confusing, more confusing than is necessary. I will mention also here, if you're using the Manager Tools onboarding checklist, we've added this step, sending them the review, to the onboarding checklist. So if you go to our website and you download that process, you'll also have a note to do this activity as well.
Good.
So while you're at it, add to their onboarding process a task for them to find out whatever HR has about the performance review system or performance management more broadly. I mean, there might be an overall performance management. Again, they probably didn't call it that. They probably called it something fuzzier and softer than that. But there might be an overall process, which again, if you're a new employee in an organization, you want to know how you're going to be performance managed and therefore should have access to this process. And detail the parts of that process that you think need to be read or listened to. And don't lose sight of the fact that it's probably best for you to set deadlines for that consumption and then ask your direct, your new direct, to report on what they've done and when they've done it. And again, we continue to encourage you in your onboarding to maintain oversight and delegate responsibility to your number two, which we hope you've chosen, a number two, somebody that can act upon your behalf in these certain cases, and have that person, the number two, drive it all and report on it to make sure that the direct you're bringing up to speed is fully abreast of this situation.
Yeah. So in a short meeting, brief your new hire on the overall form. And to the show notes, we've attached an old U.S. Army officer evaluation report to help give you a sense of how this might work.
Yeah, we're going to break it down.
Yeah.
How your explanation might sound, essentially.
Even if you don't need this tutorial, you should look at the form. It's pretty fun. It's a two-page form that Mike and Mark were evaluated on during their careers. We encourage licensees to download it and follow along as we talk you through the sections. Mm-hmm. So top part of page one is administration, which is standard on most evals. You'll see who's being evaluated, the timing of the review, a job and duties description, and who are the evaluators. It's important that you brief your direct, even on this simple stuff, because your direct needs to be able to review the form and make sure there are no errors in their review when they get it. Mm-hmm. And this is also the place where, by the way, this is where when I found out.
Yeah, who your evaluator was.
Yes, because if you're in a matrix, there's a lot of different words for a lot of different things about matrices and those environments. And it's probably different in your organization. So I'm not going to guess at what it is or try to influence or try to inflict matrix terminology in this conversation. I will say this. Do not assume if you're in a matrix that your direct knows who the evaluator is or the main contributor. I was in a situation where the main contributor was the person I worked for daily, my project manager in this case. And then the person who actually wrote the eval was my department head, which meant that they didn't work with me.
Yeah. You didn't even really know them.
My work. Right. I didn't really even know them.
Yeah.
They were the person who approved my vacation and didn't evaluate my work and wasn't on my program and didn't know my program. And by the way, all of it was classified. So their ability to understand. So they would essentially just copy and paste what the other guy
they had
wrote.
Frankly, they didn't know.
Yeah. And all they knew about me was how much vacation I had taken.
Yeah.
That was it. Because that was the only thing that was part of their purview was, well, I guess performance review, or I'm sorry, not performance review, but also they reviewed timesheets.
Sure.
Again, though, that's just, there were 6 or 8 digit numerical codes. Does that tell the person what I'm working on? No, it's purposely obfuscating the work because of the classified nature. So I really seriously went into my first review not knowing who had written it, having a lot of different opinions about it. Mm-hmm. And I would even go so far as to suggest that there was a specific year when the person who wrote the majority of it, which wasn't the person delivering it, which is fun, didn't necessarily enjoy working with me.
Oh,
You know, just really didn't like me that much. And that may have colored
sure.
the content, which was weird because the person who was delivering it, I had made friends with that person.
Oh, that person liked you.
I'd figured it out.
That sounds like a very two-headed review.
There was a dichotomy there that was very disconcerting. Once I messaged my manager on a Sunday and said, hey, I'm sick. I don't think I can come in tomorrow. And they said, oh, no, we really need you. And I said, okay. And so I showed up and I walked in and they said, oh, my gosh, you definitely shouldn't be here. I am certain that they thought that I had fibbed, that I wasn't sick. And also, by the way, my work was 45 minutes from my house. I drove 45 minutes to work. And then
you had to drive all the way back.
And then they sent me home. And that was the person who had written that review. And I just thought to myself, you know, matrices make it really hard.
Yeah.
So this admin stuff.
Even the admin isn't clear cut necessarily. It's really not.
It's really, really not. So please go over it.
Yes, please go over it. Exactly.
Okay, so that's the top of the first page. Then the bottom is different.
Yes, the bottom of the first page is a series of quantified ratings under the heading of professionalism. Each of a series of 14 categories are rated on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being the highest, 5 being the lowest. Now, in use of this form, this is the first area where the unofficial rules of reviews start to make their way into the process itself. Now, what that means is, again, 1 being the highest, 5 being the lowest, it might appear that a rating of 2 would be satisfactory, positive even. I mean, 2 doesn't sound that bad. It's just 1 below the best. Not in this system. You have to tell your team members using this system that any rating that is not a 1 is significantly negative in terms of rating. Now, if you function within this system, you've been down this road before, you know that. Everybody knows if you get less than a 1, it is a massive black eye. But if you're a brand new direct or you have a brand new direct, you could deliver a review and they could get a 2, even a 3, and think that's fine. But it is really, really, really not fine. So you want to make sure the hires know that. Your new hires know that.
How would they know it?
How would they know that? They could hear it in like hallway rumor gossip. But seriously, is that how we want to people learning about the review process? Oh, they got less than a 1. Did you hear? Kate got less than a 1. That is the worst way for a person to have to learn about the review system is to hear about one of their colleagues who did poorly. The literal worst way. So just tell them.
I got to tell you, Sarah, I'm working on my happiness quota today, and I don't think you suggesting that I get less than a 1 is going to help
me. I'm so sorry. You were just in front of me, so I said your name. I should have made up a fake name. I should. I usually say Rebecca. Rebecca's like the fake name that's just always on the top of my mind. And I don't know any. So it's very convenient. And I'm so sorry if your name is Rebecca.
I know one Rebecca and she's great. And I don't think she would get less than a 1 either.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I don't.
Yeah.
There's literally no name I could say.
Slander.
That someone doesn't have.
I know. Right. Okay. Sure. We agree. This is I'm not going to say it isn't fair. I'm going to say you might think that's not fair or it's worthless. And
yeah, what is this? How does this even count then if they're all lies, essentially?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, I agree. Mm-hmm. There are words for what it is, and it is not, I don't like it. Anyways.
Oh, cool.
Okay. And we talked with Mark and Mike, and they do not remember a single review that they ever saw with a 2 on the front page.
That means something.
Mm-hmm. It does. Now, okay. Probably when the form was developed, a 2 or even a 3 in any of these categories was considered reasonable. And part of the system of spreading the field to help the Army separate top performers from average performers. Certainly valid. And frankly, probably a better representation of
absolutely. A more accurate representation of where people and their performance actually lies.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. And because we know people who existed in this system, in actual use, we can share with you that any 2 rating was considered a significant negative. And it was so much so that it could negatively impact the entire review of an officer.
Yeah.
Big deal. 2, not okay.
Big deal. And again, these things aren't in the formal process. If you got the formal process and the formal forms and you sent them off to your brand new direct to read them, it's not going to say, hey, you should know a little bit of insider information. If you get less than a 1, it really, 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 really bad. It's not going to say that. You have to add this context to the conversation by briefing your new employees on, I'm going to say, the hidden or unofficial parts that exist within your review system. They exist in all the review systems. Yours are different than the ones we're going over today, as an example. But you've got some hidden things and your directs ought to know about them.
Absolutely. That brings us to the very bottom of the first page, which is the section on professional ethics. It's broken down into categories like dedication, loyalty, integrity, etc. This section, though, is a written section.
Mm-hmm.
And much like the previous section, anything other than high praise will be considered a significant negative in this system.
Yeah. Now, okay, so given what Kate just said, consider this scenario. An officer's manager doesn't brief this subtlety. And because the new direct doesn't know it, if their review is good but not great here, they don't realize that their review will be considered a negative for their career. And while the direct's career here is hurt because everyone else has seen this form and knows all this insider information, but they don't, the direct's career is hurt, and whose fault is it? Well, it's their manager's fault. The manager has done a poor job of communicating what's important on a form when something that's on the form and everybody knows is important isn't outwardly communicated to anybody as being really important. It's just kind of an inside track. And as managers, we have what is essentially a moral obligation to explain this review behind the review, because failure to do so is a terrible mistake that will be paid for, not by us, but by our actual directs. And it's the manager who causes it to happen.
Manager Tools is coming to Frankfurt. February 20th and 21st, we're hosting an Effective Manager and Effective Communicator conference at the Frankfurt Hilton Airport Hotel. We'd love to see you there. If you'd like to register for both days, we are offering a 15% discount. You can write in to customerservice@manager-tools.com and we'll afford you that discount and help get you registered. Come see us in Frankfurt, February 20th and 21st at the Hilton Frankfurt Airport Hotel. See you soon. So while we've already covered 2 areas where the unofficial system could have notable negative effects on an unbriefed direct, believe it or not, it's the second page where things start to get really important. We're not even to the part where 90% of the attention is paid on the review. And these are the kinds of dangers that an unbriefed direct has with a new review system. On page 2, there are 2 key sections. At the top is the written evaluation of the officer. At the top, there is a critical write-up from the reviewer. And this is only the third most important part of the review in this system, as is true with almost all systems, qualitative written sections are critically important.
Exactly. Now, folks, the unofficial take on this system is that one's direct rater must be effusively positive. A write-up from one's reviewer that is good but not great will be seen as a poor review. That is, there are key words that are being looked for by the organization to ensure this is truly a one. This is kind of like that hidden, it's like Kate's situation, right? You're great, but we can't really say it. So we've got some hidden language that we could embed in certain sections, this one, for example, that will let people who read it, but also know the rules, really know whether or not this person is a one. And they're words like exceptional, unique, or outstanding. And again, those words are virtually necessary for the review to be considered acceptable. If there's not words like exceptional, unique, and outstanding, this person is definitely not a one.
It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
But y'all, this inflation is present in virtually all systems we've seen. Does it seem unfair? Sure. And this is the performance review world. Is it effective? Not at all. Is it real? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We live in this world. This is what's happening. And a direct not knowing the unofficial system's rules is at a disadvantage because of the lack of candid communication from the manager. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is tell them. All you have to do is say, hey, here are the secrets.
Yeah, I wish it were different. I wish we didn't have to sit down and do this translation of a process so that people know what the process really actually means, but we do. And embrace reality, I suppose, in this case, because reality will help.
Listen, if I had a wish, I'd wish the Saints were still in the playoffs, but of course we're not.
But of course we're not. And that's where we're at, right? Mm-hmm. And okay, so now we've gone through all of these sections of the review, and we are only now coming to the most critical parts of the review. In this system, the senior rater, usually the boss of the rater themselves, both gives a qualitative written report as well as a quantitative relative ranking versus other officers of similar experience.
Oof. So your boss is boss.
Your boss is boss. Yeah. So it's actually two, I'm going to say evaluators. Raters is the words we're using here, but evaluators, essentially. Mm-hmm.
And if you were briefing your new team member about this review, you would have to tell him or her that the unofficial system says if the senior rater, so you as the manager, so if your boss does not actually include the word outstanding or preferably truly or exceptionally outstanding, it would be a less than ideal review. In fact, unofficially, when this system was in effect, almost no other comments in the written senior rater section mattered a great deal. There was only generally one exception where for rare, truly exceptional officers, a senior rater would write future general officer.
Mm-hmm. That was like the creme de la creme. Like that is the utmost professional comment that could be made about an individual. And that was ideal, the goal.
Yeah. And we only know one. Okay, so we have a longtime community member and client, John Hoffman, who is the only officer we have ever known whose every single review included such a comment.
John is speaking at the M conference this year, is he not?
In 2024, he is. He's one of our speakers at the M conference. We're so excited
to
host him.
That's awesome. Yeah, some of you may have been to the M conference back when we had our first one in 2019, I think was our very first M conference. And John spoke there. One of, the favored talks, I'm going to say, of that event. And he's speaking again this year in 2024. And we're excited.
Yes, as a future general officer, apparently.
Apparently.
Well and truly earned comments.
Yes, exactly.
In Mark and Mike's estimation. Okay, so that brings us to the final and unofficially most important part of the review. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Funnily enough.
Funnily enough. Now that we're translating this entire thing. Here, the senior rater ranks the reviewed officer against a bell curve of officers of similar experience. Now, if you're looking at page 2, of this officer evaluation form. This is the section at the bottom left of the second page. Now, despite the forced ranking nature of this section, which was its intent, a forced ranking, due to the unofficial rules, senior raters routinely put some good, but not great, officers who actually didn't deserve to be in the top 1% in that top block. They called it top block. That is, the block that is at the top and leftmost is what is the top block. This meant many officers that should not be in the top left block were put there due to, again, the inflation and unofficial rules of the system, thus completely overcoming, making unnecessary the forced ranking itself, because we've all just decided that even though you're forcing us to rank, we're just going to make everybody the best anyway.
Yeah. Terrible system. Completely useless in a lot of ways.
The system maybe isn't terrible, but people took it and made rules around it. That's the thing.
Right. Terrible approach to the system.
Yeah, exactly. The system
would be better.
Had reasons, but this is human. Again, we all take systems and we make them work for us. And those of us that haven't been giving feedback throughout the year tend to inflate rankings. We make it work for us. Does that mean it's good? No. But it happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So the officer who's being rated, the direct, essentially, not knowing about this manipulation.
Yeah, this system, top block inflation, we'll call it.
Might be really satisfied being in the second or third block, which honestly, during the time period that we are aware of talking about, that was considered a kiss of death to future career opportunities. So you could think you were doing okay, but in fact, be in big trouble.
Again, a two seems pretty good. It seems pretty good. If you don't know that there's this artificial inflation system that's occurring, and it's definitely not happening on a bell curve at all, there's almost no way for you to know. And it's exactly these distortions, which, again, we've given you guys an example today, but are present in virtually all rating systems we have ever seen that require us as managers to brief our new hires on the unofficial system.
If we're going to give our new hires every chance of success in our organization's performance management, performance evaluation, and succession planning systems, we have to brief them in advance. We've got to tell them about how we implement the system and how the unofficial form and the unofficial system work. We recommend you do it early and create more opportunities to give your directs their best chance for top performance and a successful career.
You bet.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you here again next week with a brand new topic.